Jesus hath fled. Fear not, I am with thee.
Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, walks us through one of the greatest verses in the Bible. This verse is beautiful in its simplicity as well as for what it means to us today. So if you have your Bible, find and then maybe even underline Genesis 15:6, and let me read it. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. That's grace, the same way that we're saved today, by grace through faith. And Dr. McGee added this, saying, "My friend, God never saves by any other means except grace. He's never had any other method of saving. And if you ever get saved, it will be because you believed God, you accept Christ as your Savior, and you believe that God has provided salvation for you." This is fabulous news, something we should never get tired of talking about. And that's the message that we'll keep sharing, won't we, Greg?
Absolutely, Steve.
And we're glad, by the way, to welcome Through the Bible's President Greg Harris to the studio today. You know, the World Prayer Team, as hopefully a lot of you know, is in India this week, where we celebrate the fruit of faithful ministry from home groups. The Lord's put India in a special place in Through the Bible's ministry. Why is that, Greg?
Well, it's really kind of simple, Steve. When your vision is to take the whole word to the whole world, you cannot ignore a country like India.
Absolutely. When you're talking 1.3 billion people.
Yes. And people usually associate that number with China.
China, right.
But actually, India is catching up to China, and there are projections that it will surpass China because China has more restrictive birth policies.
Yeah.
But you're talking about 18% of the world's population is represented in the country of India. I mean, that's almost 1 in 5 people on the whole planet are from India.
Yeah.
And that's why we care about India.
Absolutely. Also, another interesting fact, in case you don't know, the median age in India is actually younger than I would expect it, 26.9 years of age.
Yes. And that's true of continents like Africa. These continents where the populations are exploding are generally much younger than the Western world.
Now, one of the things that I was surprised about when I became actively involved in the ministry as the host, 22, 23 years ago, was even back then, the great commitment that India was in terms of priorities.
Yes.
For Through the Bible. At the time, I think we were in somewhere between 7 and 11 languages. Can't really remember. Right now, mm-hmm. We're in over 20 languages in that country. And our radio ministry continues to blanket the entire country for the most part. And of course, we receive so many responses from India, which I think is so encouraging. Now, tell us a little bit about our relationship with Transworld Radio, because they've really been key for us in that part of the world.
Yeah, to put it simply, Steve, we would not have a ministry to India without our key relationship with Transworld Radio. And, of course, those relationships aren't just about organizations. They're about people.
Right.
And the man that leads TWR India today is a wonderful, wonderful brother named George Phillip. Now, George happens to also be the Malayalam voice of Dr. McGee.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was with him a few years ago, he said, "Through the Bible changed my life." He said, "If you cut me, I bleed, Dr. McGee."
Hmm,
I mean, and this is the man you want leading the ministry
to
India.
Absolutely. The thing that also struck me about Through the Bible in India, even back 20 plus years ago, was the amount of organization they had, the amount of follow-up
yes,
that happens,
yes.
And the amount of communication that goes out between the listeners and the producers in the different languages, and then the seeker conferences that happen. All
yes.
the time.
And then even going beyond all of that, and you're absolutely right, Steve, the organizational skills of our Indian brethren are just off the charts. They're even you, and you're a pretty organized
yeah.
guy, they would even give you a run for your money.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the really exciting things beyond all of the great things you just mentioned are the radio home groups. And these are
right.
basically church plants
right.
that are taking place using the ministry of Through the Bible.
Right. Now, these are groups typically of 7 to 10 people that meet once a week in homes,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
And then their curriculum that
yes.
they're studying is Through the Bible's material.
Yes. And it's a combination of things that are taking place. You have people that know the Lord but are growing deeper in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're inviting their friends. Their friends are coming to Christ, and they're forming a nucleus of a fellowship. And they found over and over again that people don't have a local biblical local church to attend. And so they say, let's just become a church. And Through the Bible is basically the pastor and the trainer
right.
of that church.
And the genesis of that church. And we currently now have over 2,500 radio home groups meeting in India today. That is just so incredibly encouraging.
Yes, and as you know, Steve, a couple of years ago, I had the privilege of attending one of the training conferences in India where they were training over 700 new home group leaders. And I'll tell you, it was so exciting to see the enthusiasm that these people have to bring the Word of God and the teaching of Dr. McGee into their own mother tongues.
That is so encouraging. Greg, let's pray as we begin our broadcast and go to Genesis chapter 15. Lord, thank you for the faithfulness that you have shown in getting your word into India over the years. I pray that you would continue to bless that ministry, that it would continue to grow, that home groups would continue to be formed and churches would continue to be born as a result of that. Pray that you'd be with us in our study now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now we come today to verse 6, and I'd like to read it here in the 15th chapter. And he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now here is one of the great chapters of the Bible, and this is one of the great verses of the Bible. You'll recall that God appeared to Abraham after his victory over the kings of the east, and God had protected him. I'm your shield and your exceeding great reward. And this man Abram is a little disturbed. He asks about the fact that he doesn't have a child. One born in his house is the one that will inherit and be in the line. And God took him by the hand. It was night, and led him out and said, look yonder toward the stars, if you can number them, well, you could number your offspring. He couldn't number the stars. He could see approximately about 4,000, but there probably were over 50,000 in that area where he was looking. He couldn't number them. He couldn't number his offspring. You couldn't today. Now, Abraham believed God. Actually, what it means is Abraham said amen to God. God says, I'll do this for you. And Abraham said to God, I believe you. Amen. I believe it. And that was counted to him for righteousness. Now, this is so important that we need to make a check on this. Paul used it. For instance, you have him in the 4th chapter of Romans. Paul quotes this verse. And let me read that, beginning with verse 1 of the 4th chapter of Romans. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Or let me change that reading. Abraham has found as pertaining to the flesh. I think that that brings out the meaning better. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it, that is, his faith, was counted to him for righteousness, for that's what it was not, but that's what God counted it. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now if you can work for your salvation, then God owes it to you. But my friend, God never saves by any other means except grace. He's never had any other method of saving. And if you ever get saved, it'll be because you believe God. You accept Christ as your Savior. You believe that God has provided this salvation for you. And he makes it very clear here in verse 5, but to him that worketh not, no works at all, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. What kind of folk? Ungodly folk. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's counted for what it's not. And that's for righteousness. Now, Abraham just believed God. He just accepted what God said, and he believed God. That's the way you get saved, is to believe that God has done something for you, that Christ died for you, and rose again, and God will declare you righteous by simply accepting Christ. Now, in the 3rd chapter of Galatians, you have that same great truth, by the way. And we're told here in verse 8 of Galatians 3, in the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. And then we're told back in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Faith that Abraham had made him faithful to God. But he's not saved by being faithful. He's saved by believing God. That's all important to see. Now, Abraham was a very practical man. He was not filled with a phony piousity, as we see a lot of that today. He's very practical. He now wants to know something, and he'd like to have something in writing. Will you listen to verse 7? He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Here God again says, I'm giving you this land to inherit it. And Abraham doesn't even have a deed. He has nothing in writing. And as I said last time, God told him to go down to the courthouse, and I'll meet you down there, and we'll sign a contract. And you say to me, well, I've read that in my Bible, and it's certainly not there. Oh, it is in your Bible. You just have to read it right, though. Verse 8, and he said, here's Abraham now, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? You've told me that. How shall I know it? I'd like to have it in writing. Now, here's what God said do. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. Now the thing that God said for him to do is that you get a sacrifice, you get a heifer, she-goat, a ram, and you divide them down the middle. That is, split them right down the middle, put one half on one side, one half on the other. Turtle doves you don't divide. You put one turtle dove over here, one over there. Now, when men made a contract in that day, that's the way they made it. They would fix a sacrifice like this, and the two men who were making a contract, if one man agreed to buy sheep from the other one, the party of the first part joins hands with the party of the second part, and then they state their contract. One says, this I agree to do. The other says, then I'll pay you so much. They join hands and walk through that. Now, that, in that day, corresponded to going down to the courthouse and signing before a notary. That's exactly what took place. Now, you'll notice that Abraham got everything ready according to what God wanted him to do. Notice verse 11. When the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. This is sure a very human scene. If you'd been there, you would have probably have seen all this display of the sacrifices, and you had known the custom of the day. I probably ought to turn and read from Jeremiah 34:18, for here you have a reference to this custom that was prevalent in that land, not just among these people, but all other peoples in that day. And here's a reference to it. I'm reading Jeremiah 34:18, and I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. You see, this was the method in that day of taking the sacrifice and dividing it, and the men then make the contract. Now, Abraham gets everything ready, and while he's waiting for the Lord, why, the fowls of the air come down, the buzzards, the crows, and all other carrion. And Abraham's there shooing them away. They were ready to swoop down. And you would say, well, Brother Abraham, apparently the one you're making a contract with hasn't shown up. And he said, no, hasn't. He says, I guess he's late. No, Abraham says, I don't think he's late. He just told me to get things ready and that he'd be here and make the contract. Now notice what happened. When the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now, this is the thing that took place. Abraham is paralyzed in sleep and put aside. Now, that seems very strange that God would paralyze him in sleep when he's supposed to be making a contract. This is an unusual contract. God is going to go through because God's promising something, and Abraham's not going to go through Because Abraham's not promising to do a thing. He just believed God. That's all. My friend, that's exactly what took place 1900 years ago. God the Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son agreed to come to the earth and die for the sins of the world, your sin and mine, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. And I wasn't even there. 1900 years, I wasn't even there to make a contract. But God the Father and God the Son did, and he went to the cross, and he died for my sins. And I was paralyzed by sin. I couldn't promise anything. You couldn't either. Abraham's not going to promise anything. Suppose that God had said to Abraham, Abraham, if you'll just promise to say your prayers every night, I'm going to do this for you. And suppose Abraham forgets to do this and doesn't pray one night. Well, the contract is shot. It's broken. And therefore, God doesn't need to make his part good. God said that he'd do it. And he's asking man to do just one thing. Say amen to God. You believe it. Believe what God has done. Friends, that's salvation. And it's to believe God. Years ago, a dear little Scotch mother, her son had gone away to Glasgow to college, and he came back rather an unbeliever. And she was talking with the boy and telling about how wonderful God was and that she was sure of her salvation. Well, he had become skeptical, and he was a little provoked, and finally he said, how do you know you're saved? Why, he said, your little soul doesn't amount to anything. And he began to compare her to the vastness of the universe and said, God could forget all about you, and you can't be sure. And she never said anything. She just kept serving the boy's breakfast. And finally, when she'd finished, she sat down with him, and she said, you know, son, I've been thinking about it. Maybe you're right. Maybe my little soul doesn't amount to much. Maybe the vastness of God's universe would mean he wouldn't miss me at all. But says, you know, says, if he doesn't save me, he's going to lose more than I'm going to lose. And he says, what do you mean? Well, just as you said, my soul doesn't amount to anything. I wouldn't lose much, but he's going to lose his reputation. He promised to do it. He agreed to do it, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, God's the one went through. God made the contract, and he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that's not theirs, shall serve them, they shall afflict them 400 years. In the scripture, it's predicted these people would be put out of the land three times. This is the first one. It's also predicted they'd return back to the land. They did from this one. Later on, it was the Babylonian captivity. They were carried into captivity, they returned. At 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and again they were scattered. They have never returned from that, but it's predicted they will come back someday. Now God says also, that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And they did. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Abraham would not live to see it, of course. Verse 16, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. God says, I can't put you in this land now, because I love Amorites too, and I want to give them a chance to turn to me. And God gave them 400 years. That's a long time, is it not, to see if they wouldn't turn to him. And the only one that turned to him in that land was that Canaanite. You remember Rahab the harlot. She turned to God. She believed him. And that's all God asks you to do, is to believe him. But he gave the Amorites all this opportunity. It came to pass, when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Both of those speak of Christ. The furnace speaks, of course, of judgment. The lamp speaks of him as the light of the world. In the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, unto the river of Egypt, unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and God now marks out the land. By the way, what did Abraham promise to do? Nothing. He believed God. God will save you. Saves you by grace, by believing what he's done for you. Now, we come to chapter 16, and I must confess that you almost wish chapter 16 wasn't in the Bible, that God had left it out. Because after Abraham rose to the heights here, well, you would say, well, believe me, he's certainly treading on high places now. But he's not perfect. We see the lapse of this man's faith here relative to Sarah and Hagar, the Egyptian maid. Now let me read chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. You see, he got two things down in the land of Egypt that really caused him trouble. Wealth was one thing, and this little Egyptian maid he got down there. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarah. Now, the thing that this woman has suggested was the common practice of that day. When a wife couldn't bear a child, there was the concubine. And that was common practice of that day. But don't say God approved this. God did not approve of this at all. This was Sarah's idea. And frankly, it was not contrary to the custom of the day. And Abram listened to her. Looks like he's surrendering his position as head of the home here. And he followed her suggestion. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. Now, this little Egyptian maid becomes a concubine, and this is not according to God's will. God's not going to accept the offspring at all. He didn't. He wouldn't. Why? Because it was wrong. Don't say God approved this. All that you can say is that this is in the record because this is a historical fact that took place. Now we read, he went in unto Hagar, she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. You can see, she said, I've mothered a child of Abraham, and Sarah couldn't do it. She looked down on Sarah, you see. And now notice verse 5, and Sarah said unto Abram, my wrong is upon me. Now, look, don't go by that. Don't say that God approved of this. He didn't. God says this is wrong. Now Sarah sees that she's done wrong. My wrong be upon me. She's wrong, my friend. And I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. God doesn't approve of it. God will not accept this, and it's going to be a real heartbreak to old Abraham. But you see, they're not really trusting God as they should. After all, Abraham at this time is 90 years old. Sarah's 80. I think they'd come to the conclusion that they were not going to have a child. I'm of the opinion that probably Sarah could rationalize and say, well, I think maybe this is the way God wants us to do it, for this is the custom of the day. And it was the custom of that day. But it's contrary to God's way of doing things. You know, we get the wrong impression if we think just because it's in the Bible, God approves of it. And the only thing that's inspired is that it's an accurate record. But there are many things God does not approve of that are recorded in his word. This happens to be one of them. But we'll have to wait till next time to pick up our story.
Well, at the beginning of today's lesson, we were grateful for Abraham's example of faith, of believing God. And now at the end, we see him at one of his life's lowest points, when he didn't believe God, and it cost him. I think we can certainly learn a lot from Abraham, considering our natural bent to do things our own way as well. And by the way, if you'd like to know more about the men and women of the Bible and their walks of faith, you'll appreciate reading Dr. McGee's two books, Real Characters and More Real Characters, available in our online bookstore at ttb.org. And if we can help direct you in any other way for resources that Dr. McGee has available, please call us at 1-800-652-4253 or email biblebus@ttb.org. And of course, you know that we love to read your notes about how the Lord has used our studies together to strengthen your faith. So write to us soon, won't you? We've designated May as letter month, so your timing is perfect. Next time, we'll witness God's faithfulness despite Abraham's sin. And that's a reminder that we all need. Until then, God bless you as you walk with Him today.
Jesus made it home, unto Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.